I just want to pray first. And I'm going to agree with what Jay said, that we don't leave this building. Father, I just pray, Lord, that we don't leave this building without something changing in us, Lord. Father, I pray you would reveal something about your character that we can use in our lives that would change us. Father, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, you're a faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen. And, you know, just listen to everything that was going on. It was like all week I'm studying and I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And it's like that, you know, to me it's like that we sit down and we discuss what we're going to talk about. But today what I want to discuss is, I want to discuss about that we give our lives to God. We make that commitment and that step in faith and we walk out. And then we have to go through the trials of life. Go through the tough times. And that's what I want to speak about, what God is like, what Jesus is like when we're going through them tough times. We got the faith to believe that he can carry me through them tough times. I'll read a few scriptures. And this is what it says in Isaiah. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoldering flax shall he not quench. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Indeed, he binds up the broken heart and he gives liberty to those who are in bondage. And it talks about, when it talks about a bruised reed, and I looked at what a bruised reed was, and it just says what it is, it's a bruised reed. And it's a reed that's bruised that is very delicate, and it's at the end. And it can snap very easily. It can either go one way, it can keep going, or it can snap. And a smoldering flax is talks about an oil lamp that's just about to run out of oil. And it talks about, this is Jesus, or God saying this about Jesus, he won't allow this to happen. The Lord will not stuff out an unsteady flame ready to explore, but will tend to it with special oil to cause it to burn more brightly. The Spirit of the Lord is always saying, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And what that talks about sufficient is that God will give you the strength, taking hold of this promise, believing that what God says here, that he can carry it out. Sufficient to give you the strength to get through any trial or anything you're going through. Isaiah 41:42. This is the Lord speaking. I'm going to say it again. The Lord speaking to Jesus. And he mentions it in Isaiah. It's also said in Matthew. A bruised reed will not break. He will not break. And a smoldering wick will he not snuff out. I want to talk about a few people in the Bible. And one of them is the woman that was caught in adultery. And I love this story. This woman was caught in adultery. She was guilty. And so the Sanhedrin bringer, whoever it was, brought him up to Jesus. And he said, we caught this woman in adultery. The law says that we've to stone her. And we know the story. It says that Jesus bent down and he wrote something in the sand. And slowly, they all walked away. Now, can you imagine what that woman felt like? She was guilty, terrified. I'm a failure. And Jesus writes in the sand. He writes something. And some people say that he wrote all their sins, wherever it was. And Jesus says to them, you without sin, cast a first stone. And you know what? None of them could. They all walked away. And then Jesus turns around and he says to her, he says, I don't judge you. When you look at that scripture, what he's saying to her is he restored her. He said to her, I don't judge you. She was guilty. He said, I don't judge you. He restored her. And then he educated her. And he said to her, go and sin no more. See, that's the God we serve. Educating. You know, I don't judge you. Go and sin no more. Peter, when he begins to sink, we all know the story, and I'll probably talk a bit later on. Peter's out. They're out in a storm. And they see Jesus coming towards them. And they start to get a bit scared. They think it's a ghost. Anyway, they see it's Jesus. Jesus comes over. And Peter says to him, full of faith, Lord, let me walk in the water. Call me out here. And Peter gets out of the boat. And he starts to walk in the water. And all of a sudden, he said he started to sink. And he says to Jesus, he says, save me. And I love that scripture, because that's all he can say sometimes, isn't he? Nobody going through them tough times, save me. Because that's all he could say, because it would have turned into a gurgle, because he was sinking. He said, save me. And the Lord there, he reached down, and the word to reach is to reach with the intent to help. It says that the Lord reached down and caught him. He got him walking. He restored him. And then he educated him. He said to him, why did you doubt? He says, why did you double think, Peter? Why did you doubt? But you know what? First of all, he had him walking again. Then he said to him, why did you doubt, Peter? The prodigal son. What a great story. And that's really, it's a picture of us coming back to the father. The prodigal son, you know, goes to his father. And he says, give me everything. Give me my inheritance. And his dad gives him inheritance. And he goes off and he spends his inheritance on fast chariots and wild women. And he squanders everything and he has nothing left. And I can imagine, you know, being out there when you have something, people being around you, people, you know, feeding off and best friends and all. And when it was all gone, he was left on his own. And he talked about his father and he says, you know what, my father, he says, even his servants have better food than this. He says, I'm going to go back to my father. And it says, you know, it says that when he was going back, he was thinking, I'll repent. And I'll tell him I'm sorry. And he said, he went back to the father. And before he even got to the father, he says, the father ran out to him, put his arms out to him, turned on the robe and gave him a ring and had a feast for him. See, that's the God we serve. Restoring people, putting his arms out. He knew that the son was coming with a repentant heart. That's what he's looking for, a repentant heart. He didn't even have to say, I'm sorry. Before he got to him, his father just turned it on him. See, that's the God we serve. I want to look at Peter's life because I think we can, a lot of us can relate with Peter. And when Jesus was gathering the disciples, and when he was gathering the disciples, it wasn't usual for a rabbi to go around and gather disciples around. But what he would usually pick is theologians, scholars, and that. But Jesus didn't. He went and got fishermen, he got tax collectors, just common people he gathered to him. None of them were educated, but he gathered them. See, in the master's hammer, God can take you, he can change you, he can use you. But if you come with an open heart, Jesus calls Peter. I want to talk a little bit about Peter's life and some of the situations he went through to. One day, as Jesus was standing at the lake of Gennesaret, that's the English translation. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonged to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. There was too many, it was a crowd. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. And we've caught nothing. We haven't caught anything. He says to him, because you say so, I will let down my net. In the middle of the sentence, Peter catches himself. He was exhausted. He was after working all night. He was disappointed because he caught no fish. Despite needing to be in bed, he had stayed up and he'd helped the Lord in his preaching by loaning his bow. He could have used all these excuses when Jesus called him. When he told him, go to the deep water and cast your nets. Feelings. See, sometimes we go on our feelings. And Charles Stanley says this, would you like to have a deeper relationship with God? Would you like your spiritual life to be more meaningful, more intimate than it is right now? Over the course of my life, I have found that there is one thing you must do if you want to go deeper in your relationship with God. You must stop living by your feelings, because feelings don't always tell the truth. And when he had done so, they caught such. So Peter goes out. He says, because you said the Lord. And he goes out and he drops the net. When he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners and to each other or the boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he had all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partner. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they put their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And you look at Peter, he stepped out in faith and he trusted God. Didn't go on his feelings. Feelings will tell you, I should be at home in bed. We tried this all night. But he stepped out in faith. Great start for him. This is his introduction to the gospel. See, something happened to him when the Lord appears to him in different ways. When he went down and he filled his nets up, something happened to Peter. He was changed. He had a great start. Man of faith. Let me look at the rest of his life. In Matthew 14, when Jesus sent his disciples across the sea on a boat, while he went off to pray for himself, the disciples ran into a fierce storm. And we all know the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And so the disciples are sitting here. So they're listening to Jesus preach, and we need to feed them. So all of a sudden, they start feeding them. Now, there was 5,000, so there probably would have been a couple of more people than 5,000. But anyway, it said that Jesus fed the 5,000. And it says after that, he went and he collected 12 baskets. So imagine faith. You know, a couple of fish and a couple of loaves. And all of a sudden, there's 12 baskets over. So you can imagine them being on fire. But they were tired. Because I tell you what, going on collecting 12 baskets of food, it's hard work. And so anyway, he come and Jesus says to him, "Go over to the other side of the lake." They went over to the other lake. Jesus went up to the mountain and he was praying. They were in the will of God because Jesus told him, "Go to the other side." So anyway, he started to head over to the other side of the lake. And it says he came into a storm. And in that storm, I can imagine the disciples in that boat rowing. Just keep on rowing and sail. You know, I talked a while ago about that. A lake waves are different than the lake or the waves in the sea. The lake and a wave are tighter together. So in the sea, you go up and you go down, up and you go down. But in a lake, when you go down, another one could come top of you. So it would have been a very scary time for them. So in the middle of this storm, they're in the will of God. And you know what that speaks to me of? That even when you're in the will of God, that sometimes we go through tough times. We go through problems. Anyway, it says, I think it's in Luke, that Jesus seen the disciples, and when evening came, Jesus seen the disciples struggling. But it was a couple of hours later that Jesus went out to them. It says that, you know, I think it was 4 hours. So these were struggling for hour upon hour, probably tired, probably at the end of their time. And it said Jesus seen the struggle, but he left them there. So they're rowing away. And then Jesus comes out to them. And walks out and they see him. And I say this already, he sees him. And he says to Peter, he says, "Can I come out?" And Peter comes out and he walks in the water. And the thing about Peter was that he took his eyes off the Lord. And he put his eyes on the wind. See, the wind was always there. The troubles in our life are always there. But when we keep our eyes on the Lord. So he takes his eyes off his Lord. He starts to sing. Jesus reaches down. He restores him. Then he educates him. That's Peter. You know, sometimes when you read some of the other Gospels, that story is left out. The same story, they're telling the same story, but they leave out the part that Peter walked in the water. And I was reading a commentary on it, and it says, one of the reasons why they left that story out was because Peter was ashamed that he failed. And I can imagine him at that time, if that's what he felt like, "I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I let him down." So he just goes on with life. We come to another similar powerful moment when Jesus asked the disciples to tell them, "Who do people think I am?" Peter then makes the fourth and greatest declaration. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus makes the stunning declaration. Blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonas. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What a privilege, what an honor for Peter was, forced to declare Christ would be the foundation of the church as the first apostle. And we're likely to get very excited for Peter. Can you imagine Peter, who knew the Christ? And then, you know, I can imagine Peter going, that's right. I am. You know, man, the master's had to tell me something great about myself. Now, I only think this is a human. Because when I look at these stories, I try to visualize them. I try to see what it was like being on that boat, rowing and different things. And that's how I remember the stories. So I can imagine Peter going, wow, great. I'm the rock. Peter was born with the name Simon. But when Jesus meets him, he gives him a new name. His new name means rock. The new name is significant. You see, rocks are hard, unchanged, dependable, and firm. But we look at the life of Peter. He was anything but unchanging, dependable, and firm. In fact, he was impulsive and also reckless. See, Jesus was looking to the future. He was Simon now, but he was going to become a Peter. Then in the very same conversation, Peter fails us again. Peter takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. Can you imagine? Peter takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. Can you imagine? The chief of the disciples are rebuking the one through whom all things are made and in whom all things hold together. We are astonished at this hero. Peter returns and he rebukes by Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Can you imagine? Come from the highs of you're the rock. To get behind me, Satan. What were you feeling? You know when we make a mistake? We walk through, we get to the tough times. And we stop trusting God. And we turn around and we think, failed again. And I can imagine Peter saying the same thing again. I failed again. When the disciples and Jesus were meeting in the upper room to celebrate the Last Supper during the Passover, Jesus makes it known that one of the disciples will betray him by handing him over to the religious authority, religious leaders. We, of course, know that the man was Judas. But while we're discussing who was going to betray Jesus, he says to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to shift you like wheat. And when Jesus tells Peter that Satan has asked to shift him like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith may not fail. He didn't say, Peter, that you might fail. He says that your faith might fail. What is faith? You know, this was a description I heard years ago, and it's the ABCs. It's an action based on a belief sustained by confidence. Let's say this together because this is a powerful, it's an action. Based on a belief. Sustained by confidence. See, it's when God says it, it's believing it and it's stepping out. And just trust in him. The ABC is an action based on a belief sustained by confidence. Luke 7. About the centurion who was willing to believe that Jesus could heal a loyal and trusted servant who was near death. The centurion told Jesus, just say the words and my servant be healed. Then the centurion used a personal example or illustration. So what he just says to him, I'm a captain here. He says, I tell people to go, and they go. And he said, when I tell them to come, they come. In response to the centurion, Jesus turns to the crowd and was following him and said, I say unto you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. Jesus seems to be saying that great faith was simply taking him at his word. Standing on what God says. Taking a scripture out of the Bible and holding on to that word. If you need strength, if you need healing, if you need peace, it's taking a scripture out and having the faith to believe that what he said he can do, wherever comes, wherever circumstances come, and just holding on to that faith. Peter's faith, because you said so, I will let down my nets. I will let down my nets. Jesus says, so the centurion says, just say it, Lord, and he will be healed. As Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on me, the son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and he asked him, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, he replied. Then he touched the eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done. And his sight was restored. He just said, Lord, just say it. I believe you. And it says his sight was restored. By faith, Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance. Obediently he went. Even though he did not know where he was going, he trusted God. And God gave him an inheritance. But Peter cried out, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. So he's in the upper room. And Jesus says to him, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter says to him, no, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. He said, I'll never deny you. And the Lord says to him, before the cock crows, you'll deny me. And Peter said, Lord, I won't deny you. They can put me in prison. They can kill me. I won't deny you. Three times he denies Jesus. You know, we know the story about where Jesus is taken away. You know, even before he's taken away, the guards come to take him. Peter runs over and he chops the ear off the guard who's come to take Jesus. And really he was saying, I'll die for you, Lord. Jesus walks over, picks the ear, and puts it back on. Ah, Peter, while he's dead there, there's another one that made a mistake. And then he's following Jesus from a distance. And he says, you know, you're one of them Christians, aren't you? You're one of them. And he turns around and he says, no, I don't even know him. Second time he asks him the question, you're one of them Christians, and you even sound like one of them. He says, no, I don't even know him. It's nothing to do with me. Third time he asks him the same question. And he denies him. And it says in Luke, he says that Jesus turned around and he looked at him. And it says, Peter wept bitterly. Imagine your friend, someone that you spent the last couple of years with, and you denied him. Oh, I think that would have been the topping on the cake. Failure wouldn't have been a name for it. But what did Jesus do to Peter? He restored him. It says this here. It says that a lady went to the grave where Jesus was buried, and an angel told her, tell the disciples and Peter that I'm gone ahead. You know, that's the God we do. You know, restore them. Tell the disciples and Peter, picking Peter out because of what Peter went through. Tell Peter, I'm gone ahead. When Jesus meets up with Peter, he says to Peter, he says, Peter, will you feed my sheep? Peter says, I will. He says to Peter, will you feed my sheep? I will. And three times he says to him, will you feed my sheep? And he says, I will. Do you know what? That was the greatest call. To look after his people. Three times he says to him. And Peter says, I will. You know, you don't give a job like that to a failure. See, God seen him as something else. God restored him. Thanks. I don't like that one. Thanks, Jay. See, Jesus restored him. Giving him back his dignity. Peter, will you feed my sheep? See, something happened to Peter after. After the resurrection, he was never the same. He was changed. When you look at Peter, in Acts 4, it talks about Peter. They're preaching outside a synagogue, and they're healing people, and they're praying. And the Sadducees comes up to him and says, you can't be doing that. You can't be preaching about the gospel. You can't be telling people about Jesus. And he says, who do we listen to? Do we listen to you, or do we listen to God? And so I'm just sort of paraphrasing. And you see in verse 5, he says, you can't be doing that. He called them in and says, you can't be doing that, preaching the gospel, spreading this stuff. You know what? They take Peter in and they whip him and they flog him. You know what Peter says at the end of it? He said, thank me, God. I thank God that he allowed me to go through that struggle. See, he was changed. He wasn't the same anymore. He started thanking God. He was bold. Something happened to him. Faith came into him where he wasn't going to back off anymore. Do you know what? Because them 12 men and Peter, 11 men and Peter, Jesus, we're here today. He fulfilled what the Lord said to him. He said to him, Peter, he said, Simon, you know, you're going to become a Peter. He says, you're going to be a fisher of men. And he fulfilled that call on his life. I just want to finish with this. Jesus named Peter the rock, not for what he was, but what he was going to become, by the power of the Holy Spirit. A bruised reed shall I not break, and a smoldering flax shall I not quench. The Lord is near to the broken hearted, and save the crushed in spirit. Indeed, he'll bind up the broken heart, and give liberty to those who are in bondage. A smoking flax will he not quench. The Lord will not stuff out an unsteady flame, ready to expire, but he'll tend to it with special oil to cause it to burn more brightly. The Spirit of the Lord is always saying, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. When you're telling people about God, tell them how he restores lives, how he'll give you back your dignity, and how he'll turn your life around. Do you need oil in your lamp? See, sometimes the oil in the lamp is taking a promise of God, and by faith, hanging on to that. Do you need strength to get through the day? As thy day, so shall thy strength be. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Don't use today's strength for tomorrow. Because the Lord says, today, as thy day, thy strength. He's going to give us the strength for today. Use today's strength for today. For tomorrow when you go, we're going to give you new strength. Peace. He's promised you peace. He's promised you joy. You know, I was thinking about, Stephen May sent me a text, an email about a guy that he led to the Lord. And I get great encouragement from them. When he sends it, this time I met this guy, and it was a chiropodist that he was in seeing. Last week it was his business partner, an accountant. And every week he said, you know, every couple of weeks he'll send me a text. Now I led another man to the Lord, or another person to the Lord this week. And it really encourages me. Do you know why? It's with Stephen. See, I'm going to miss something. When I'm driving, sometimes I speed. Sometimes I go into the bus lanes. And I'm not proud of that. I'm only saying that for the microphone. But I'm not proud of it. And I'd be whipping in and out, and I know the traffic in and bus lanes and everything else, you know. But, you know, people know that this over the last couple of weeks, we have a grandson. His name is, you didn't know I had a grandson? New grandson. His name is Thomas Curtis Jr. the first. But Jamie and Daniel call him Bobby Brennan. Do you know what? You put him into my car and I'll change. Do you know, I'm driving carefully, driving the speed, really watching what I'm doing. Do you know why? Because I brought him into my world. Because I'm aware that he's in the car. And when I think about Stephen reaching all these people, can you imagine being in your chiropodist? And that God is in your in your ward and you're thinking, how can I share the Lord with this guy? Don't talk about your chiropodist. Getting your feet done. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, and the Lord's speaking to you, I want you to lead him. Stephen would step out and he'd say, lead him, he'll tell him about the cross. And he said, do you want to ask the Lord into your life? Why? Because God is in his life. It's like me with Bobby in the car. I'm aware. I've brought him into my life. I won't speed, I won't go away, because I brought him into my life. And that's what Stephen does. He's bringing God into his life, into every area of his life. You need oil for your lamp. As I said before, take hold of what promise of God has for you. You know, whatever it is you need, put it to your life. Let it change you. Hold on there. Because everything is going to come against you and say, that's not true. God can't give you peace. God can't restore your family. God can't touch your son or your daughter. But faith will say he has. Feelings will tell you no. But faith will tell you, yeah, God can. Tough times come. Being a Christian doesn't mean the absence of conflict. It just means that we have a God that will carry us through it. A bruised reed, he will not break. And a smoldering wick, he will not stuff out.